Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And so Jesus is our example in humility, and I just want to read from Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading at verse 3. It says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So we see here the mindset of Jesus. Beginning at verse 3, he did nothing out of strife or vainglory. Vainglory is empty arrogance. But in lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind is translated the same word, humility. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So to walk in humility, you have to learn how to highly esteem other people above yourself. And we talked about how God has given us prayer. That's one way we do that. When we pray for other people and intercede for other people, it takes humility to do that. And then verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." So this scripture is telling us that we just can't be selfish and self-seeking. We can't be self-promoting, self-exalting, self-centered, self-confident, self-seeking, self-righteous. All of that's a no-no in the kingdom of God. This is the mindset that Jesus had, because when you look at it, Jesus didn't do anything for himself when it comes to our redemption. He died for us. He tasted death for us. He suffered for us. He was bruised for us. He was chastised for us. Everything that he did it for us. He gave his life for us. He was ransomed for us. He was cursed for us. He was made poor for us. He was made sin for us. So you can see that the mindset that he had was that he did everything for our benefit. He was not selfish or self-centered. And if anybody had the right to be that way, it would be him, because he had all that anointing and that power. But he didn't use it for his own glory. In fact, he said, "I seek not my own glory, but I seek the glory that comes from the Father." Then another place he said, John chapter 8, verse 29, he said, "I always do those things that please my Father." So he was only interested in doing what pleased God. He totally emptied himself, and he pursued the will of God with a vengeance. And with so much intensity that was the thing that motivated him in everything that he did, was, how can I please the Father? How can I bring glory and honor to the Father? That's what he was consumed with. That was his mindset. In fact, he said, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister." Now, you would think that that's really unusual for him. He said, "Look, I didn't come for y'all to serve me." He said, "I came to serve you." That was his mindset, that he saw himself as a servant of mankind, even though he was the creator of mankind. Actually, he served what he created to redeem us from all iniquity. What he did, he didn't do for himself. He didn't go to the cross because he needed the cross. He went to the cross because we needed the cross. Amen. So we can't be self-centered and self-seeking and selfish and just want things our way. Not if you're going to live for God. In fact, the disciples got into a big dispute because they had a discussion about who was going to be greatest among them. They all were vying to be the right-hand man. They wanted the top spot. And they were arguing about it, and Jesus came upon them one day, and he took time to tell them. He said, "Listen." He said, "People in the world do things that way, but it will not be that way with you." He said, "The kingdom of God doesn't function that way." He said, "If you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, then you have to be the servant of all." Oh, I'm going to tell you, that shut him down right there. Because that means Peter was going to have to serve John. John was going to have to serve Peter. Matthew's going to have to serve Peter. Peter's going to have to serve Matthew. On and on and on. You would have to be the servant of everybody else if you want to be great. And then another time, Jesus set a child in the midst of them. And he said, "Let me show you who's greatest in the kingdom of God." And he set a child in the midst of them. And he said, "It is those that are humble." Unless you're able to humble yourself like this little child, He said, you can't even enter into the kingdom. You couldn't even get saved without humility. Because you'd have to admit you was a sinner, and prideful people can't admit they're sinners. If you got pride, you'll never admit that you sin against God. If you have pride, you'll never receive the gift that God has for you. Your pride will keep you from receiving. So he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant. What did he do? He took upon him what? So Jesus became a servant to mankind and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he did what? He humbled himself and became. You see, you can't be obedient unless you humble yourself. He humbled himself. The humility had come before the obedience part. In talking about prayer, if my people who are called by my name shall do what? Humble themselves and what? Pray and seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. Amen. Then I'll heal their land. I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. Now he was talking about his people. He said, if my people will humble themselves. So that tells me that he got some people that ain't humble at all. He got some people that's not praying. He got some people that still hadn't turned from their wicked ways. You have to be very careful that you don't fall into, I'm going to call it a dangerous trap of the enemy for people that are just getting saved. Sometimes people will come to the altar and say, I made Jesus the Lord of my life. I was talking to a man just a few weeks ago. He said, well, I came to the altar and I gave my heart to Jesus. I said, yeah, but did your lifestyle change? Well, I had somebody else pray for me. Yeah, but did a change in your heart take place? See, some people will come forward and pray the sinner's prayer. That's what he told me. I prayed the sinner's prayer. I say, did you repent of your sin? Some people are praying the sinner's prayer, but there ain't no repentance at all. And they're being deceived that everything's all right because they prayed the sinner's prayer or because they got baptized. Did you repent of your sin? You see, you don't just add Jesus to your life and keep living like you was living. I found a scripture in the Bible that said that they feared God and worshiped their idols. I thought that was a typo. I said, maybe the printers made a mistake when they printed this. Because the Bible says they feared God. That means reverence, respect, honor, obedience. And worship their idols. I said, now how can this happen? How can they be fearing God and worshiping idols at the same time? That puzzled me. And then the Holy Ghost showed me that that's the same thing that's happening in our age today, is that people are embracing Jesus, but they're still serving their idols. In other words, they never repent of their sins. So all they do is add Jesus as a God. But they never have, there never no change in their life. If they shacking, they keep shacking. They get come up and say, I got saved. All right, you got saved. Are you still shacking? Well, I got saved last week, but you still living in sin. You still fornicating. You still backbiting. You still doing all these other things. Is there a change in your heart? I don't mean that you're zapped and everything is perfect in your life. I don't believe that. I know that sanctification is a process, but something needs to change. When you have a true conversion with the Lord, when you have a real, genuine experience with Jesus Christ, it is impossible for your life to stay the same. There is no way you can ask Jesus to come live inside of you and you stay the same. Impossible. Oh, he clean house when he come. He start dealing with you about your sin. Sooner or later, something going to change. If any man's in Christ, he's what? A new creation. Old things pass away. There better be some old stuff passing. And behold, all things are become new. It's a new way of living. Jesus did that. When he came, that was the reason why he came, to give us a brand new life. Look at this. Now, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. His obedience led him to the cross, and he died. But God highly exalted him and have given him a name that's above every name. See, the Bible says, whoever will humble himself, God said, I will exalt. He did the same thing for Jesus. Jesus humbled himself, and God exalted him, gave him a name that's above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. So we thank God that Jesus is our example. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm telling you, there's a spirit of deception that's rampant in our society that have people say they get saved, but there's no repentance in it. There's no turning away from darkness to light. I'm going to tell you, that's a false doctrine. That's a false teaching. You can't get saved without repenting. That's right. That's right. That's right. People just want to confess Jesus is Lord and then go live like they've been living. No change at all. Just add church service. Add church attendance. Add giving. But their lifestyle still stay the same. They ain't saved. They added religion, not Christ. You can't add religion. Well, I need to be more religious. I need to start going to church. That don't mean you saved. Well, I need to start giving my tithe. That don't mean you saved. People that's not saved give tithe. People that's not saved go to church. I was one of them. Going to church and not tithing. And not saved. So you may have friends that are say, well, I prayed the sinner's prayer. You better straighten them out. And you better tell them the truth. You need to ask them, did you repent of your sins? You don't hear much preaching on repentance at all. Telling people to turn from their sins. The Bible says, turn from your wicked ways. When you repent, you make a decision to live for Jesus. That means you're not going to live the way you used to live. That means that you're going to start eradicating sin out of your life.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Can't feel you.
But now, oh,
I'm found.
Whoa.